Chapter 20, Minor League Thinking, Major League Benefits. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. 1 Peter 1, 3 and 4.
When you're playing baseball in the minor leagues, you'd better learn to like buses, because whether you like it or not, you're going to be seeing a lot of them. That's because minor leaguers don't generally fly to their games in jet airliners as do their major league counterparts. The money just isn't there. If a minor league ball player is lucky, his club owns a nice air-conditioned bus with comfortable reclining seats and tinted windows to keep out the sun's glare. If he's not so lucky, he might have to get used to riding on air shocks. Air shocks because the metal ones fell off and there's nothing left but air, and torn vinyl seats that stick to you like Velcro. But either way, in a sleek new bus or a crummy old one, the trips from ballpark to ballpark can get long. If you don't know how to play solitaire when you get drafted, you learn by the time you discover the Mud Hens play in Toledo. Minor leaguers spend hundreds of hours in cramped, moving quarters trying to get from national anthem to national anthem. No matter how long the trip may be, however, they can count on one thing. The length of their journey never alters the reality of their destination. Whether it takes 2 hours, 4 hours, or 10 hours, with a couple of flat tires, he knows he'll get there eventually. Toledo was still there last time he checked. I think it's time we apply some of this minor league thinking to the real major league. And I'm not talking about baseball. I'm talking about the only league that ultimately counts, the one where God is the owner, founder, and commissioner, where the stadium is paved with transparent gold, and where all the players are known as the saints. I'm talking about eternity. A little minor league thinking could help us in a major way. Sometimes we're tempted to think that life's hardships and setbacks and pain and loss have somehow managed to wipe eternity off the map. We imagine that our suffering demonstrates there is no such place as heaven and there is no end to the pain. When thoughts like that begin to bedevil us, we need a dose of minor league thinking. Every minor leaguer knows that no matter how bumpy and uncomfortable and long the trip to the next ball field might be, the length of the journey never alters the reality of his destination. The trip won't last forever, and the diamond will be waiting for him at the end. In the same way, the Bible promises us that no matter how difficult our journey may become, the length of our journey never alters the reality of our destination. That's what Peter meant when he declared that all those who have been given new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead are also guaranteed an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. And why is that inheritance so secure? Because it is kept in heaven for you. This is simply Peter's way of telling us that the length of our journey never alters the reality of our destination. We might be riding in a dilapidated, broken-down, old wreck of a bus. We might be several hundred miles from our destination, with two flat tires behind us and a bald spare in front of us. We might be hot, tired, and discouraged. But if we can remember the minor leaguer's creed, we'll be all right. The length of the journey never alters the reality of our destination. Our inheritance will be right there in heaven, waiting for us, whenever we arrive. Perfect, imperishable, unspoiled, vibrant, and oh, so real. It was this truth that kept Jan going in the midst of her depression. She learned that nothing is secure but eternal life. Everything else passes. Great comfort and even joy came to her when she focused on the fact that nothing could take this away from her. Even when she was suffering great emotional trauma and felt as if she were losing her mind, she found great comfort in John 10:27-29, where Jesus said, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand." And when she paired this with Romans 8:38-39, For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The effect was powerful. She had seen that God was faithful to his many other promises. She would trust him again with this one. That's minor league thinking that results in major league benefits. The point of the trip is to arrive at the destination. No one claims that the long hours spent in a creaky, battered old bus will always be pleasant. What is certain is that the ballpark awaits, freshly groomed and ready to welcome the saints who belong there. I think Peter must have been a ball player at one time. At least he sure had this minor league creed down pat. I bet he's a southpaw. It sounds like something a lefty might say. The length of our journey never alters the reality of our destination. I like the sound of that. Better yet, I like its truth. And no greyhound on the face of the earth can change it one iota, tinted windows or not. Dear Lord, when I began reading this book, I didn't know that there would be some very hard things to deal with. The fact that suffering is a part of life, period, was tough enough. But then to have to face the reality that I am wasting away? Well, all I can say, Lord, is that this hasn't been a cakewalk. Yet now you have brought me to a place of genuine hope. My suffering is producing something in me that far outweighs all I am going through. This is something to rejoice about, even in the midst of the battle. As I read about people such as Lou Gilbert, Lord, I can't help but be encouraged. Here's a man who has been diagnosed with cancer, and to hear him say he's the happiest he's been in 61 years of life, well, it's absolutely incredible. Knowing that good is being accomplished through the suffering, even though there are times I certainly don't feel it, just blows me away. I'm amazed at how you work. I may not fully understand, but I am left with only one thing to do. I thank you for whatever you are doing in my life. Although I now see only dimly, nevertheless, I see that you are preparing for me a far better place than this. Lord, help me to keep my eyes fixed on this truth and give me the strength to not be distracted by the circumstances swirling around me. Amen.